What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres preseason action continues tonight. I'm on the board. I went Saturday. Pittsburgh.
Come on, really?
Yes.
Well, good for you.
I saw both teams in person this weekend.
I don't even know what to do with you.
I talked to Marty Baron. I talked to Pete Guelli. I talked to fans. I roamed the building. You know, it's the preseason. There's good seats available.
There's roaming opportunities.
Yes. Good seats available.
Well, good for you.
But
how was the scoreboard?
I don't know. Fine.
Okay. I'm not going to press. I'm just curious.
Has the show ever sounded older? I don't look at the scoreboard. I look at the ice.
Yeah.
Well. You know, if I want to know how much... Paul, is this weird? If I want to know how much time is left in a penalty, I look to the ends. And that's maybe because I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, where you would look to the... You could also look to the top. But it's more convenient to me, like if the puck... On a power play, the puck is in one end of the ice. You can sort of see, just by glancing upward, what the penalty clock says. So, I don't know. I don't really use the scoreboard, Paul. Is that bad?
No, I do. The penalty clocks, yes, depending what end they're in. Or if they're coming through the neutral zone and got ice that I can look up. So I actually use everything. I use a scoreboard or use the ends depending on where the puck is.
I've heard, I think I heard, it must have been Marty and Duffer talking about it at some point. Or I guess it could have been someone else. I don't know. There's like a lot more like shift data that's going to be up there during these games, right? Like shift times and like power meters and just some really interesting facets that this new scoreboard, I think, will have for fans if you're into that.
It is very good. It's not the best I've seen. It's not even close. It's not anywhere near the worst. I mean, it's a huge, huge upgrade, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else it might be able to do.
My mind is wandering already thinking about that.
Well, the conversation I heard, and it had to be Marty and Brian talking about it on Sabres Live, that the crew there, or it could have been Brownie and Tasker talking about, I don't know, whatever. The people that are in charge of the scoreboard are saying already, like, there's just a lot more that we're going to be able to do once we figure it all out. Like,
well,
it's all so new.
Hopefully they do, because when I buy a new device, there's supposed to be so much potential, and all I ever do is send messages and do the same five things.
Right.
I have a device now that I can program to have my garage door open and close. I don't use it.
Yeah, I have my hand in the air here. I got an iPhone finally after a flip phone. My iPhone, I'm sure, can do 9,000 different things. I basically text and call, and that's about it.
Yeah, my car is very obnoxious about how much it wants to tell me it can do. Really, I don't need it to do anything except... No. You know, get me there. That's what I want it for. I want it to get me there. But it's like, oh, these features. I had to have a factory update. And once the update was complete, my son and I got in to take a ride. And suddenly now the navigation has a voice, which I know when I bought the car, I turned off. But I'm like, buddy, I don't know. I can't turn that off. He's like, let me do it. It took him 5 seconds.
Right. I wish I had him in the car last night, because all of a sudden I had sand and fog or something in the bottom of one of my things. How did I get a scenery here? I have no idea how this happened. I had it in my car.
It's all more questions than answers.
We need to stop this right now.
I
got 100 more things I could say, but I want to stop myself from saying them.
I don't want my myself. Car. I drive. One more thing. I drive on a road near at my house where there's not a lot of car traffic. So... You know, I start on my way. If there is a, which is often, if there is a car or a truck parked on the side of the street, I cross the center line to get around them. I don't signal. There's no car coming the other way.
And your car's
barking at you. I go across the line. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep.
Right.
What is my, did my insurance just go up?
Right.
Oh, I'm basically driving in my driveway. I got the beep, beep, beep. I got to get Julius on that.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm done.
All right. I'll just chime in with it took me a while to warm up to the backup camera, but I now am like, now I don't know that I could live without the backup
camera. So many
camera.
Cameras.
I was so, like, when my wife's first car we had with a backup camera was one of my wife's car. I'm like, I don't need this. Just put my arm over the seat and back up. I know what I'm doing. And now I got the last two or three trucks we've had, have had them, and I'm like, I don't know how I would operate in a parking lot without them.
Yeah.
But I used to think, I don't need that. I know how to drive.
Too many places to look.
Yeah.
Paul, you were at a hockey game last night, if I recall correctly.
I've been to two hockey games so far and a scrimmage.
One more than me.
The goals, Paul. Can they sustain it?
Were the games the same? The Sabres, mostly their NHL club, played a farm team?
Yeah, kind of. They didn't start off well last night, but Lindy Ruff, I don't know if he let them have it, but he certainly let them know about it. In the first period, they got outshot something like 13-4. And Brian asked me about it. I wasn't very good at all. I didn't see much passion. I didn't see much in the game at all. And they got it back. They got to keep playing the way they did in the first game, where, you know, they got speed. They were still not the pace Lindy Ruff wants yet, but it's quite a bit better than last year. Last year's pace, and you know, you're seeing guys around the net on a regular basis. You're seeing guys go to the battles and win the battles on a regular basis. And that's all they needed to do last night is just, all right, wait a minute, we're in a game here. This isn't last year. We have a new coach, and he probably is going to skate us for 5 hours tomorrow if we don't snap out of this. So let's get back to what we're doing.
So what is the way forward from here? We've got a game tonight, another game later in the week, right? And then, but it's all just the Rochester guys because the NHL team plus some extras, right? They're traveling with like 27 players maybe.
27.
If I have, okay.
It's Rochester guys and coaching staff. I mean, Mike Leone will be coaching the last four preseason games with Sabre jerseys on. What you saw from the Buffalo Sabres, the last two games is going to be totally reversed for the next four. Although Pittsburgh doesn't have a lot of NHL players in the lineup tonight, so this is basically the Rochester Americans against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins tonight. But as you get further down the week, you're going to see more of the NHL players,
right.
And it's going to be the Rochester Americans against NHL teams, and it'll be what you've seen in reverse the first two games.
What is the timeline of events as you know it in Europe? I mean, they're traveling tonight. I know that. And I know they play a regular season game a week from Friday, if I have that right. What about in between? There is a preseason game against a German team?
Munich.
Yeah, and actually that's this week.
Okay.
That's coming up this week. So they will play that game on Friday. And it's kind of in between the Sabre preseason games. As you go along here, Buffalo plays Ottawa on Thursday, and on Saturday, I believe it's Columbus. I don't have it in front of me. And then in the middle, they have an afternoon game, preseason game, in Germany. So, and which I believe is on the NHL Network, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right. Friday. Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are regular season games, I think, are on the NHL Network and MSG. And, of course, they'll be on our radio station also. So, mm-hmm. Yes, that's the schedule for them. They leave tonight, a little bit later. The four extra guys that they are taking are Kulik, Rusick, Klaig, and Reimer. And it's 27 guys, but you still, by the time the NHL regular season hits and you got that first game against the Devils in Prague, you have to get down to 23 players, which means you'll have four guys that you have with you who you'll either have on injured reserve or send down to Rochester, but obviously you're in Prague.
Right.
Rochester is not an hour's drive away. You could send them to another city in Czechia if you'd like to, an hour away, if you want to do that. But, they'll be available to you if you need to call somebody up before a game. You still have to have a 23-man roster by the time the first game.
Have you gotten any feel at all from the organization, Lindy, Kevin Adams, any of the players, about whether this is a super cool thing that they get to do, or is it kind of a pain in the butt?
Well, Lindy referenced the trip I went on, which was the Germany-Finland-Germany trip. And he liked the fact, he said, well, the way it worked out really well, he goes, the players kind of get to know each other. And especially this team that has some, you know, new guys like Zucker and McLeod and Abe Cabell, Malenstein, Gilbert, Reimer, you know, so, and even Kulik and Rusick. I mean, they know the guys, but they haven't really been teammates with them. So it gives them a chance to kind of get to know each other for a week and a half, 2 weeks as you're gone, do things together. As Darlene said today, by the way, first time he spoke since April, because he finally was able to make practice because of injury. And but, you know, he said, we'll have some fun things to do. But he said, don't mistake that we're going there and we won't be working. He says, the work that you saw here is going to continue when we're on the road there. But, you know, when practice is over and they're all crawling on all fours because Ruff just kicked the you-know-what out of them, you know, they still are going to, you know, shower up and get their energy back and go out and have some fun, too. So, and they'll have some things to do for the players that they all do together, you know, boat rides or whatever it might be, you know, that type of thing.
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, whatever it might be, you know. So
time of year to go.
Yeah, you know, they have it a week in between the preseason game and the regular season game. So, you know, there's that. So there'll be things to do. But, you know, Darlene really wanted to stress, don't mistake it, that we're going to go there and not be working in practice. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Games and that type of thing.
Your understanding is he's fully healthy?
I don't know, fully.
Okay.
He did everything today, but he had the non-contact jersey on. So I always go with they're not fully healthy until they have the non-contact jersey off.
Sounds right.
But he did. I was watching him closely. There was nothing that he did not participate in. He, you know, this is the first time he got a chance to be on the power play and practice that. So he was paired up with Yoki Haru. They've liked a Bo Byram power a lot in practice in the games. So I think maybe Ruff decided, I like those two, and I don't really want to break them up. So I'm going to stick Darlene with Yoki Haru. They've played together many times before. And it takes Samuelson out of the top four. But Ruff also has mentioned along the way here that he likes lefty with righties, if he can do it.
Hmm.
And that would put a lefty Samuelson with a righty Clifton, which is kind of when I was doing the summer lines, that's kind of the way I had it too, thinking – Yoki Haru had a very good season last year, much improved. He's played with Darlene a lot. So they can go lefty-righty with that pair, lefty-righty with Samuelson and Clifton, and then he got two lefties with Power and Byram. Byram doesn't really want to play right side. And he's right. When I saw him play, he didn't really do all that well on it. So Power's been playing the right side, and he's been just fine.
Game at 7 tonight. Did anybody not go on the trip that might have surprised you? Ryan Johnson?
He's there.
He is there. Okay, then that's
wrong. He's not. Oh, good. The trip to Germany.
No, trip to Germany. Yeah, no.
I thought you meant trip to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He's in Pittsburgh tonight.
Right.
No.
Right.
It is definitely not making the cut for the games in Europe.
Correct. And you know what? That's. I think that's right. I think he needs a little bit of time in Rochester. There are things he does very well. There are things he does not so well. And so I think it'll do him some good to get a lot of ice time down there and work on his game somewhat. You know, especially last year where he started off really well, and then it kind of started going south on him as the season went on. And that does happen to some college guys because they only play like 35 to 42 games depending on how far they go. And they don't play the 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 and all the way down through to April and 82 games. And I could tell, even the playoffs last year in Rochester, I didn't think he played that well at all. I just think he was worn out.
Paul, the returns on the fourth line from at least Saturday, I did not see much of this game last night at all except for the highlights. But Saturday's game I did sit with for a while, and it looked to me like the fourth line did exactly what the Sabres would have been hoping it would do. Now, again, it's a preseason game against mostly AHLers, but still, I thought the speed, like in on the forecheck, I was impressed.
100%. They scored in both games. And you know, Abe Cabell actually is a nice, you know, move coming in, and Lafferty cleaned up after Malenstein had a breakaway, but you can see the speed. That's why they got the Malenstein breakaway in the first game, because of the speed. Lafferty and Abe Cabell got it up ice. They all kept going to the net, which is what they're going to do. And you know, Darlene described it. He goes, you know what, when you're out against guys like Malenstein, he goes, you don't want it to be, but he said it is in the back of your mind a little bit that he's on the ice. Because you know if he gets the opportunity, he's going to rock you. And you know he's fast, so he's going to get in on you fast. And you know you have to make a play in a hurry. And he says as much as you don't want to think about it, he goes, you do. And he goes, that's why he loves the fact that those three are on his team now and just makes them harder to play against. And they're just relentless. And the thing when, you know, talking to Malenstein this week, he talked about how in Washington he would go up against the other team's best lines, he and Abe Cabell. Very often they would be up against the other team's best lines, and he enjoyed doing that, and they kept putting him out there and against it, so he was doing well with it. So you don't have to just spot him out there for 7 minutes a game. You know, you can give him some meaningful ice time out there against other teams' better lines. And then maybe you don't have Thompson going out against the best line against the other team, and that maybe gives that line a chance to go out against a line that maybe isn't quite as good, best against best, depending if Ruff has the last change or not. So it gives you different options. Plus, if you're Darlene and you're Thompson, you know these guys have your back. There were a lot of times last year nobody had anybody's back, and Darlene would have to turn around and fight for himself. And Thompson's dropping the gloves, and he did fine when he dropped the gloves, but do you really want your 47-goal scorer or however many goals it is dropping the gloves fighting? I mean, probably not, especially if he breaks his hand in the middle of it. So, you know, you just like Florida. Florida goes out and takes liberties and everything because they know other teams aren't going to do it to them because – everybody's backing each other up, and they know accountability will be coming if they do.
Who's on the call tonight?
Dan and Rob. They are there. They are in Pittsburgh.
Not going to Germany?
That is correct.
Ooh. Okay. Paul, thanks for your time, and I hope it's a great game.
Okay, take care.
That's our Paul Hamilton. His reports here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
You really don't send your broadcasters?
This team isn't. I don't know what New Jersey's doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Times are tough,
yep.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, wow. one of the spillovers, the remnants of COVID is, you know, teams realize they could get away with having their broadcasters do games from television studios and not send them on the road.
Still sucks.
It does. No question. I feel very bad for Dan and Rob.
You get to become an NHL play-by-play announcer. Your team goes to Europe and you get to stay home.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
I mean, does the mascot go? I bet the mascot goes.
I bet that's probably right.
Unbelievable. Man, times must be so tough. Quick check of Twitter. Just a few wide-ranging tweets through the day we've received, starting with this from Jed. When are reverse AFC power rankings? Need to know for my ride home. That's going to be tomorrow at 3, Jed, so thanks for your question. This from Monkeys Forever. Love that segment. Appreciate that, Monkeys Forever. We love doing it. One more, again, wide range of tweets today from Brandon. Was there or is there reverse AFC power rankings, or is that moved to Wednesday? That'll be moved to Wednesday. We're going to do that tomorrow. So you didn't miss it. And I think that's it. Oh, here's one about celery. Larry, the joke was there was no range at all, but now that ended. And Larry writes, I have recently fallen back in love with celery.
I saw Larry needed to let us know how much he likes celery. Thank you for listening, Larry. We appreciate you. I referenced a tweet earlier, very much earlier, and it came up, I think, again with Ross last hour. Chris Trapasso, our buddy from CBS Sports, tweeted at us right before our show started today. The Bills are currently second in the league in yards after catch per reception, 7.2 yards. So that's the number. Like I don't know who said it, but that they seem like they're doing a lot better in that area. Been talking about Allen's precision today, allowing for that. So I mean they have been within the bottom four or five teams in the league almost every year of Allen's career. That is a dramatic change.
Yes,
and I for one welcome it. I don't know why anyone wouldn't.
I have to think about it.
After you catch it, is that a good thing? Why can't you just throw it to the end zone? Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Isn't that in his right? Toolbox?
Repertoire.
Throw the ball deep. Not super accurate on the deep ball, Allen. Going back. There have definitely been some. But even as this year started, there were a couple
He missed Scantling in the opener.
Arizona, right? Yeah. He was interesting last night. Didn't he... There was an incomplete pass to him, and then he caught the next pass?
Yes.
MVS?
Yes. He also did a very good job blocking, as did Mac Hollins, on the rushing, the James Cook touchdown. Mm-hmm. I thought, did anybody else notice this? It's so late in the show for me to mention it, but I thought Hollins had his hand up on that dude's face mask at the goal line. Like when I saw the replay, I was like, oh, thank God they got away with that. I might be wrong. Listen. Maybe he didn't have a grasp of it. I don't know, but I thought it was very close to being a flag.
You're the referee, and all you keep hearing about is that your home teams were 3-13 in your games last year. We got to send a different message. Real quick, this ref or the other game I had – it must have been the Bills game, on the radio driving home. And he announced a change to a call by saying the replay assistant X, which has been long overdue. For a while, and I don't know if this will be all the time, but they tried to trick you. The call on the field, after discussion on the field, which was not a discussion on the field, they were waiting for some new space ref to tell them what the call was going to be. And so you'd see refs standing there, and maybe the announcer be like, they're talking about it. Nobody's lips are moving. But, you know, after discussion on the field, and the referee would literally say that, which was a lie. So this guy last night said, the replay assistant says this, okay. And that's better. There's no reason to lie about it. We know that there's a space ref. People even like it. Fans deal with it. They settle for it. They want the calls to be right. So anything that, I guess, in theory means the calls will be right, that's good. They want the space ref.
The only thing about it that's confusing at all to me is how arbitrarily it seems to be deployed.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem there's any uniformity at all to when they decide to use it, and that seems weird to me.
Different subject for a different day. I mean, that it's definitely weird. You had the punch in the Chicago-Houston game, but we can't use the space ref for that, even though the whole world saw it.
Right.
It's only just sometimes. Yeah, we don't love that part of it. Eric Wood joined us earlier, as he always does on Football Mondays, even when they're on Tuesdays, to go over the game last night. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.